It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Charlton Live. It is our annual show from the Player of the Year dinner. We are here in the Fans Bar, Cross Bars as it used to be known, at the dinner. The players have just been introduced to the room, and everyone's sitting down to start to tuck in to their dinner. So let's introduce everyone who's joining us on the Charlton Live table, tucked away in the corner. No dinner to be seen here, of course, but plenty to talk about, especially with breaking news whilst we've even been here. So let's go around the table to introduce everyone that's here. First up, to my right-hand side, it is Lewis Catt. Good evening, Lewis. How you doing?
Good evening, mate. Yeah, not too bad. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad indeed. Looking forward to a good evening?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see who wins the awards, won't it? I think it'll be a good evening. It's always nice to round off the season here doing this show, as much as the season maybe has been a little bit forgettable. I always enjoy this time of the year and doing this show with all of you guys, so yeah, it should be a good night.
Yeah, and Lewis become about the 20th person I've had to remind this evening the season's not over yet. We've still got one more game. A lot of people have come up to me since we got here, so thank goodness it's over. I was like, you know, we're playing again next weekend, don't you? One of those who I'm sure is dreading next weekend already is Joe Puddyfoot. How you doing, Joe?
Yeah, no, I'm really good. I mean, I was better before you reminded me about next week, but it's nice to be here. Absolutely packed out, so well done to the guys selling the tickets. They maybe should take over selling the club. They would do a better job than we seem to be doing at the minute.
They can sell literally anything is the takeaway we've got from this. But, you know, we always take our hats off to Gene and Ian and Marion and everyone involved in organising these events. Always fantastic. And, thanks, of course, to Gene for letting us have our little table in the room. Do a great job every year. And it is a great evening. Even when it has been a terrible season, and you know that is the case, unfortunately. Again, now also joining us to my left hand side, it's the chef, Mr. Mark Newbury. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm finally out of the kitchen and happy to be here, so I'm good, mate.
I wondered if this is like a busman's holiday for you, going to a big dinner.
As long as they don't ask me to go in and give them a hand, I'll be fine. So, yeah. So I'm done for the day.
Excellent stuff. And also joining us, it's going to be sort of here on and off throughout the evening, Terry Smith. How are you doing, Tel?
Yeah, I'm good. Mostly off, because I thought there was dinner.
Yeah, no, we do not provide any catering.
No, clearly.
On Charlton Live.
Not even our own resident chef has brought any food. What's the, you know?
The budget does not stretch that far. I have got a cheese and pickle sandwich in
my
bag.
The evening promises to be as flat as Terrell Thomas's car tyre.
Yeah,
made him late.
Yeah, Terrell Thomas was introduced into the room by Scott Minto, but then he had to admit that he's not here just yet because he had a flat tyre on the way here. So even our players' cars are getting injured. That's the sort of season we've had. So I'm on this week's show, but we'll have a very brief look back at yesterday's game in a few moments time. But as I mentioned, since we've actually been in this room, breaking news on the takeover front from Ben Ransom, suggesting that effectively Charlie Mevin's group are back on the scene, Joshua Friedman's consortium, which is now what this is being sold as. You know, they're trying to keep Charlie Mevin's name away from it. Have returned with a fresh offer, £10.5 million received by the club on Thursday, according to Ben Ransom from Sky. And also, he's also sort of alluded to the rumours that were rife. Anyone who was here at the game yesterday would have, and spoke to anyone who was sort of speaking about the takeover, would have heard that the Spiegel deal was off. This is what we were hearing after the game yesterday. Some were hearing sort of just before the game. And Ben sort of gone along those lines as well. So another twist in what has been a pretty standard takeover story, really, for Charlton, but obviously a bizarre, difficult to process situation that we find ourselves in. So we'll talk about that as well. Obviously, we'll have a guess about who we think will win Player of the Year later on in the show. Once we've heard the awards, hopefully we'll get a few of the players to come over and say hello and sit down and do an interview. They're normally eager to do that, so hopefully there will be again. We've got some goal music being played on the screen now in the background. They're showing a bit of a goal of the season competition. Sean Clare's about to rocket one into the top corner against Plymouth. So yeah, we're just seeing the goals with Greg and Terry's commentary in the background, so hopefully that won't be too overpowering for the audio. But yeah, Lewis, I think we have to start on the breaking news from Ben Ransom. When we were in this room, you know, we came here wondering what exactly we were going to talk about on the takeover. Like I said, I heard yesterday the story going around about Spiegel still either being off or, you know, certainly struggling. That seems to be the case now, according to what Ben Ransom has said. And now Joshua Friedman, who was part of this group led by Charlie Mevin, back on the scene. Where do we go from here? What do we make of this?
It's just another story, isn't it? I mean, when you look at Joshua Friedman, much like Mark Spiegel, know very little about him. Don't know where he's come from. It seems to be quite a steady rumour, given that it's been shared on the news now through Sky, through Ben. So it's another twist in the tale, isn't it? A never-ending saga of mess, really. You know, we've spoken a lot over the last few weeks about, well, I mean, someone's just scored a goal. Makes a change. Yeah, we've spoken a lot on the show recently about how important the preparation for next season is, and that we obviously need things to be in place before we can even think about preparing for next season. And we're getting agonisingly close now. Obviously, next week, last game, and then the players will go away for their breaks, and some will be offered deals and some won't. And before those decisions can really be made with any kind of concrete, concrete decision to be ironed out, it's going to be reliant heavily on what happens with this takeover. And you know, it looked like the Spiegel deal was done on Friday, or there was a deadline of Friday, which regardless of how much we knew about him or how optimistic we were about him coming in, it at least meant that we could start thinking about next season and maybe what that would look like. Obviously it now seems that may not be the case, and we've seen this Joshua Friedman consortium come in and we're back to square one again. Ultimately, all I care about as a fan is that someone comes in, puts the money where their mouth is and gives Dean the tools to prepare for next season, because we don't want to be sat here in 12 months' time having the same conversations about a dead rubber season. So it's frustrating, really, because I just want a deal done now so we can all start looking ahead to next season.
What are you making of it, Joe? I'm just not sure where we sit now. It's easy to forget that when the Mevin consortium was out there, there were a lot of stories about cost cutting, all that sort of stuff. You know, are we going back to that? None of these takeovers, Spiegel, Mevin, anyone, has filled me with confidence. So it feels like we're on a bit of a merry-go-round, which annoyingly has still got no resolution one way or the other anyway.
Yeah, we seem to be on a perpetual merry-go-round as a club, and the people I feel most sorry for are the people who have to moderate Charlton life. Because at least they think the forum might quieten down over the summer and they get a little bit of time off. But they're going to be worked to the bone again, as rumours abound. Ultimately, whoever takes in or takes over, we're not really going to know what they're worth until they start signing some players, until they start putting some real money behind their aims for the club. And how long is it going to take us to do that? Because even when they come in, it's going to be a bit late in the day, it feels like now, for the players. So this is going to be probably a two-season job to get the club rebuilt to where it needs to be, even with the money coming in, because we're going to lose potentially some targets through this. And it's got to be unsettling for the squad. They're going into a summer now just as we are, thinking, well, what are we turning up for on the first day of pre-season? Who's going to own? Who's still going to be here? Can we offer any contracts? It's perpetually being on the back foot, and it's another summer where we're going into it yet again on the back foot and hoping for a bit of a miracle, and they don't happen that often in SE7.
No, they don't, and that's, you know, a concern, Mark, because, you know, ultimately all this bumbling around over the last few years under Sandgaard, now with this takeover, whoever's going to come in, taking absolutely forever, as Joe said, it puts us on the back foot and it leaves us stagnating in League One, which is never going to be acceptable for a club of our size, you know. I'm not saying it's a given that we deserve to be in the Championship, because clearly, based on some of the rubbish we put out at times this season and the way the club's been run, and, you know, we haven't given ourselves the best chance of getting up there. But I wonder how long fans will continue, and I'm not saying they are, but will continue to settle for this, because we're seeing the crowds getting lower and lower every season. There's people who I spoke to here this evening, and you know, I'm not saying people who aren't here aren't hardcore, but come to the dinner, you've got to be pretty hardcore. And there's people said to me so far this evening, they're not sure if they're going to be renewing their season tickets. You know, the longer this nonsense goes on, the worst state we're going to be left with when it finally gets resolved, whether that's this summer, whether that's a summer in 10 years' time. And at the rate it's going, it feels like the one in 10 years' time feels more likely.
Yeah, it's difficult, because it's where's the encouragement for the next generation of fans? Because we are in limbo. You know, over the last 4 or 5 years, how many owners, managers, takeovers, there's been no steady line anywhere along the ship. Every time you're thinking something's going to happen, you're almost disappointed. And I think we're, you know, possibly as football fans, you're semi-cynical by nature. But I think as Charlton fans, we've been through the ringer so much in the last 10 years. I mean, the last 10 months. And you just, like Joe said, you just want someone to come in and we know where we stand. You know, I'm not looking for someone to come in and say and promise for well, because we know that's not going to materialise. We want someone to come in and say, this is my plan, this is the backing for it, this is what we want to be looking at over a long term. We've got an amazing structure in our academy. Well, you know, every year we're producing Rolls Royces off that line, and every year we're just seeing these players being cherry picked by other clubs. And so it's, you know, you start again. And sometimes they say it's the hope which kills you, but I mean, for Charlton fans, you're going to lose 500 to 1,000 fans again, because we are going to be just a steady decline in League One side, and the infrastructure is here to be a much bigger team than we are. I mean, you are where you are. I always said this, you know, you are where you are, deserve to be. The way we've played this season, we deserve to be in League One. I mean, sometimes we've deserved to be in League Two the way we've played, but you know, it's for the future, which is where you've got to look 5 years, 10 years down the line. Can you see where the club is going to be? Because, you know, I've followed them for almost 40 years and I'm thinking there's nothing there now, which I'm thinking, where do I see Charlton in 5 years' time? Are we still going to be around? Because it just seems to be some sharks circling the water, thinking, are they going to come in, asset strip? Are they looking to come in and make a quick buck? Are they looking to come in and see what they can get out of it for them and not look at the club? The club's special. The manager gets it. He gets why we're a special club. What you want is an owner to come in. I mean, the perfect example, we've been following, you know, Wrexham this season from afar, because we've seen what's happened when someone's come in and they've bought into the ethos and they've got behind the team and they've just been promoted, with the whole country, it seems, of Wales getting right behind them. And that's what can happen when it's done properly. I mean, you know, where we stay in, I think, like I say, I think the next 3 months is the litmus test for us, because we just want to see what players are coming and going and what there is for us to move forward in the next season.
So I want to think about worst case scenario and best case scenario for the next month, because a month's time, transfer business should have been started behind the scenes by now already, and Dean has said, you know, he'll have his lists of targets, and as you were saying before we started, he'll have list one, list two, list three, depending on where we land. But let's talk best case scenario first. What is the best case scenario? Because I have absolutely no idea. Well, what could happen?
I think we only know what the worst case scenario is. I don't think anybody knows what the best case scenario is, because I mean, I'm probably like just about every time, I'm exhausted with all of this. Do you know what it is? And I've been through a few, but this has just exhausted me more than any other time, because it's just continuous. You know, you seem to get an owner that you hope will take us forward. It doesn't quite happen. Then you get owners that, for many reasons, then you get owners that are only here to asset strip. Then you get an owner that, again, who you think are going to take us forward, and it doesn't seem to happen. And now we've just got vultures circling, by the sounds of it. We don't know. We have no idea. We're only going by past history, so we don't know what the intentions of the 3, 4, 5, 10, 20, however many people are out there that are thinking about buying the club. So, yeah, I'm just exhausted with it all night, and I just don't know. I mean, that's the point. There's no point in looking at best case scenarios, because we don't know what they are. We have no idea what they are. The only, The only statement, the statement you made about the merry-go-round, the only bit I disagree with that is the merry bit.
Do you know what's most disappointing about that answer, Joe, is I came to you for best case scenario because I thought you'd be best placed to be the one who could lift us up.
Nobody knows, do they? I mean, I could turn around and say this latest one is supposedly a wealthy man who wants to buy us. But how many supposed wealthy men have we had trying to buy us already? So I'm at the point now, until I see the ink drying on the contract and the proof of funds, and oh yes, he has got billions, then we'll talk about best case scenario. I'm off to get some Mogadon anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know we'd cheer everyone up with our show this evening. There is some worst case scenario in terms of, and again, I don't know if Thomas Sandgaard staying is the worst case scenario, but I think he probably is, and that's then assuming that anyone who comes in has to be better, and that's a very brave assumption. But if we do get that scenario where Thomas stays, and it's been quite clear that he's wanted to run a tight ship in terms of spending too much money over the last year, you know, you think about, well, wind back to last year's Player of the Year dinner show and the conversations we had with Thomas Sandgaard and what actually happened in the summer compared to what he said to us. Goodness me. But if we get another year of that, we didn't flirt with relegation this season overall with however many points above it, quite a handy amount of points above the relegation zone. But at one point there was probably people fearing that we could have got sucked into that. If we bumble around in League One mid-table every year, standing still is going backwards, we will eventually find ourselves in League Two. I'm genuinely concerned that that's more likely to happen over the next 5 years than going up, based on what we've seen over the last two or three.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, you know, when you say about worst case scenario, is that Thomas staying in charge? It probably sits on two sides of a fence, where if he has a sudden epiphany that he wants to invest and try and, you know, help get a competitive squad together that's going to challenge for promotion, but, you know, the proof in the pudding has been that yes, he may have put some money in, which we can't argue because he has, but the decisions that have been made have led to some, you know, some seriously underperforming seasons. I agree with you that at the moment, if we're going on his original 5-year plan of getting into the Premier League, we are much closer to League Two, like, than we are to the Championship. I agree. I thought this year, around November, December, just as Ghana was going, that we were in a bit of a battle. I don't know if that was because the call to bring Ben Ghana to the club was maybe a little bit short-sighted, because he was changing a whole brand of football in the space of like a 6-week period.
And you're entrusting people to make that decision that this is the brand of football we wanted to play in League One to the wrong people, because that was a Thomas Martin decision. And I asked Thomas about that at Dartford in pre-season. Are you confident that this style of football will get Charlton out of League One? Yeah, why has he been allowed to? I know it was his club, but why did he entrust himself to make that decision?
No, you can't have an owner dictate the way that your football team play. I mean, yeah, of course, everyone wants to play open, expansive and attractive football. You know, it's good to watch and it's enjoyable, but at this level, you have to sign real players of quality that can play that system. And when Ben came in, you know, we didn't spend any money on players. We brought in a couple of people from Swindon that he'd played that system with before, the likes of Jojo and Manny came over, Jack Payne as well. But really, like, you're not gonna, you can't build Rome in a day. You can't take the same group of players that were playing a certain style under Johnny Jackson 3 months prior to Ben taking charge of his first game and expecting that same crop of players to play like Man City. It's not gonna happen. So look, the worst case scenario for me is just the uncertainty. It's not so much Thomas staying, because if he has a certain, you know, he's got to inject some funds into the club to keep it moving. I mean, if he doesn't, then it's absolute, you know, career suicide for him, really, if it's going to start turning, and I imagine the protests and everything will begin to ramp up. But it's about, you know, as Tel said, like, it's about the uncertainty of the football club. That's the worst case. And if we're going to mount any kind of challenge next season, we need something buttoned up, done and dusted as quickly as possible, so Dean can get on with what he needs to do to make us competitive. Because there's only really one thing at the club at the moment that I think we're getting right, and that is Dean. Because, I mean, you see the reception he got when he walked in today. The fans are on his side, and I think that's a powerful thing here at Charlton. We've seen it with Bo, we've seen it with Jacko, we've seen it with Powley. when you've got your fans on side and you've got somebody that a manager that fans can connect to like Dean, it can be a really powerful thing here. Don't waste that by not putting in the relevant funds and giving the guy this, you know, the facilities and everything, the resources that he needs to mount a challenge, because I have all my faith in Dean that he can, but only if he's given the right tools to do so.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. And I will say, I think in terms of making an impact on the fan base with the way he's interacted with them, I don't think anyone's done it better than Dean, because he has come as an outsider. You know, Bo, Jacko, all those sort of Charlton legends have been part of it, have had that almost handed to them because of what they achieved in their careers with the club. Now, Dean, I think, recognises that he needs to garner some good feeling around the place. Like, genuinely, I think the mood in the fan base can help play a part a little bit, only a little bit, but Dean's got that spot on. And, you know, even things like yesterday, he was at the Upbeats Walk. We were saying that I honestly can't remember another manager coming to the Upbeats Walk. And I honestly, I think he's done a superb job on that front. I think he's bought a little bit of leeway by doing that in terms of on the football side, because, you know, results improved massively, but not enough to have been a challenging side if we played that out over the course of the whole season. But yeah, Joe, your views on the manager, he needs the tools to work with, doesn't he? But I guess garnering all that goodwill is only one part of his job as well.
It is only one part of his job, but it's a job he's done spectacularly when you consider he's done it by managing probably the least liked group of players in the history of the club. So it's not exactly like he came in with a good hand to play. He's managed to invent something from nothing in terms of that will and that goodwill towards him. So I think Dean's a great example of someone who's come in and just got the club, gets the ethos, has got the fans, and that momentum is there. But I'm a bit more pessimistic than most Charlton fans, as is pointed out sometimes in comments and stuff after the show. I think if we take Rakitić out of this league, out of this team, and you replace him with Kirk, then Dean's probably got these results with a team that would have been in a grudge match with Morecambe for who would have been potentially going out of the league, because I think Rakitić is worth 20 points, and you take him out and you're on 41. So he's going to have to get the tools in. How do you get the tools in when you haven't got any certainty in the board? That's impossible. And when you don't have full control, because we know that no manager here has full control over signings while Sandgaard is here, that's going to be a real challenge for him. And I would like to see him bolster the backroom team. And if he's going to do this properly and he's going to be given the support to do this properly, it's got to be his DNA from top to bottom, so that he can live and die by the players out there, and he can live and die by the philosophy and the results. Because unless you do that, you're not going to have that complete buy-in throughout the club. And I think that we don't have players that are bought in on the level that he is. He's got to get another 11 to 18 Dean Holden-style people who want to live and breathe and give a real care about the club. And some of the players he's got coming back, which we're probably going to touch on one of them later, isn't. They're not even those players. So he's got a bigger clear-out job, I think, than any manager has before, even probably bigger than Powley's job.
Yeah, and that's part of it. And yeah, and I like the phrase Dean Holden type players, because I don't think there's anywhere near enough of them in this squad, Mark. You know, we've had our conversations about, you know, I never, ever, ever accuse players of efforts, but I think the last few weeks that there's been things to me that have shown a lack of effort, which is one of the most painful things as a fan, because, you know, I was on the drive over here, I was thinking of old Player of the Year dinners. There was one ridiculous one years ago where I ended up hugging Simon Church when he was leaving the club, because, you know, I was thanking him for the effort he put in, because Simon had his downfalls, you know, mainly finishing and his majority of his game, but his effort was just like, he always tried so hard, and because of that, I really found an affinity with him. Dean has spoke about quite a few times over the last few weeks about characters, the ones already in the building and out the building, that he wants to bring in and change. And yeah, it's all well and good saying that, but if we're in a summer where we don't know our budget, or we've got a very small budget, sometimes beggars have to, you know, can't be choosers. You get what you're given in terms of the type of player you're going to end up with.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the players realise how lucky they are. Most of us would give our newborn children to be a professional football player.
You've got two now, Mark.
I can spare one. Yeah. But would be able to do that. And
someone's
just rubbed my head for luck. So that was good.
Come to rub Mark's head.
And he's right. He's that kind of player. And you think to yourself, why can't we attract that? Or what's missing? I think, unfortunately, when Pearcey retired, we lost that kind of seminal leader. I mean, look, Dobbo's a good skipper, but he's not that kind of leader where you need people to be sort of like scared of to get the effort out of them. We had too many who, you know, were just paycheck warriors, and it's a sad thing. Yeah, the life of a footballer isn't long, but it's not going to get any sort of like longer if you're not prepared to run in a match. It's not going to, because no one's going to pick you up when you're out of contract, because they're going to look at what you do. You know, half these players, and I'm going to be, you know, quite brutal here, are going to be lucky to find themselves in League Two teams, you know, next season once they've left us. Because I can't see anyone in our division or higher going, oh yeah, let's pick him up. So it's a sad thing. And you see, so, you know, we are going to have to rely on our youth system. You know, we do have a handful of diamonds coming through, and it just seems to be every now and then, you know, there's another one. You know, if we can keep hold of Leeburn in the summer, because that's a thing, because no one knows if someone comes in with an offer, if Thomas is just going to go, yeah, that'll do for me, because that'll help.
At this rate, no one's going to know who to send it to. But like, who's in charge currently?
that's it. But, you know, at the moment, he's the person whose name's at the top of the company's house. So he's the one who you'd go to, and it could be a silly offer. I mean, I would take a silly offer plus a loan back for a season. But, you know, you never know what the advice he's going to get. Money talks. And we are just going to be back where we are. And like you say, you know, there's nothing to say in 2 years' time we're doing this from League Two.
Yeah, well, hopefully not. But as I said, it's a possibility. Now, you may have heard her coming in, rubbing Mark's head for luck. Sue Gallop has managed to put down her dinner for long enough to come and join us. How are you doing, Sue? How's it going?
I'm really good. Yeah? I'm really good.
What's the dinner? What's the dinner? I've been looking enviously.
So we had Charlton chicken.
Nice.
Broccoli and new potatoes. Lovely. It was actually quite nice. Yeah? It was actually quite nice.
While we've been here, Sue, I don't know if you've seen the breaking takeover news that Ben Ransom tweeted. Well, so you haven't seen it, judging by your face. So while we've been in the building, Ben Ransom's tweeted that effectively the Charlie Mevin lot are back on the table, and the Mark Spiegel takeover has effectively fallen through, which is what a lot of us were hearing yesterday. Joshua Friedman, who was part of the Methven consortium, they're saying they've gone back in with a new bid.
We was actually, before Ryan joined us, we was talking about the Joshua Friedman thing, because wasn't he someone that came in before? And
he was to do with Methven. Really, he was Methven's group.
He was,
yeah,
part of Methven's group. Oh, mate.
Yeah, so what are you making?
The whole, like,
So, I mean, we were talking about how we're concerned it's probably going to set us back a little bit in the summer window, the fact that nothing's sorted yet and there's all this uncertainty. What would you make of that? I wonder if Dean Holden might look at that as a positive, because he obviously came in under that group in the first place.
Yeah, I guess when you look back to the people that Charlie brought in, at the time that it looked like it was going forward, Dean was one of those people that came in. So potentially he might be like, yeah, I'm happy with that, because they were the people that were telling me, right, we're going to do this and that and the other in the summer break. Obviously Mark was like a bit of an unknown quantity, because we didn't know what backing we were going to get in the in the summer break in terms of transfers. So yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like, I feel this, it's like you've just chucked this at me and I don't know what to say. Yeah. It's like, wow. I know that something was going to break today, but I didn't realise it was going to be that.
Yeah. Well, since we've been talking about players, and to be fair, I'm going to lay my colours on the table here. I'm nowhere near as annoyed about this as everyone else seems to be. But overnight, a video of Alex Gilby and his celebrations with Stevenage came out, singing We Hate Cheltenham or something along those lines. Now, my reaction to that is, you can tell he's in a room, they're celebrating promotion, he's in a conversation with either a fan, I think it's a fan, because he's having a photo taken. There's every chance the conversation was, what are you going to do? Do you go back to Cheltenham now? What's going to happen? I think I reckon what's happened is someone else has started singing, "No, we hate Cheltenham." They've probably sung that about other clubs, not in that video as well. I think Gilby's just joining because I honestly don't think it's that big a deal. But
probably they've had a few beers after the celebration.
But
not really.
We've had problems with you know, the likes of Macaulay Bond's Instagram stuff this season. You know, there's been other fan / player reaction stuff. But no, obviously Macca's not here tonight, which is no surprise because he's not been in the squad for a few weeks as well. I assume his time at Cheltenham is done. But what did you make of that last night, Sue? The Gilby stuff.
Yeah, no, I think it was last night. So actually, from the game at Cheltenham last night, I went down to Hastings. We had the Hastings Player of the Year, and obviously within our Cheltenham live chat, when the link got put on, and I was just like, wow, like. I know you had a drink and you're celebrating being promoted, but you really need to be so conscious now that people have got mobile phones everywhere and they will video you and they will like take photographs of you. Just, I know you've had a beer, but at the same time you still need to be so aware of who's around. Because whether that was, like you say, it could have been sung about other clubs or whatever, but as a contracted player to a club, don't go and sing something like that. That's just really like irresponsible.
Yeah, Ivan Toney did something very similar with Brentford when he was on holiday a couple of years ago, saying like F Brentford or something, but he managed to win them back over by being an excellent player. But unfortunately we've had a few who've been not in that position to start off with, and then obviously find themselves doing that, and that was another something the fans haven't enjoyed it, to put it that way. Lou, we haven't talked about yesterday's game yet briefly. 3-2 win against Port Vale, last home game. Is nice to end on that front, because as I said, I've been a bit disappointed with some of the performances over the last few weeks. What did you make of yesterday's game?
I thought it was a very much an end of season encounter, really. Two teams with nothing to play for. It was, entertaining enough. I thought it was a little bit poor in the second half of the first half. It was very droll. It had a bit of a pre-season feel to it, to be honest. It was pretty flat. I thought we dropped in quality. But when we come out second half and got the second goal, it was much better. I mean, another unbelievable performance from Cezrak Saki. I mean, we've touched on it already. Joe said, like, replacing him and what he has brought to this team is a task in itself. Without everything else that we've got to do this summer, that's a serious hole to fill. And he's what an outstanding young talent that boy is, and he's going to go on and have an amazing career. And it was good to see TC on the score sheet as well. I thought he's come in second half of the season at times when Corey's been out injured, and he's impressed. I thought he's always looked dangerous. He's looked good on the ball, confident. It's been a few times where maybe he's looked a bit out of sorts against some of the bigger opposition, like Ipswich. He had a bit of a struggle, but all in all, it's another young talent that we've produced that looks like a real star that could come through. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the summer holds for him, and I assume he'll be a lot more heavily involved in our plans next season. And obviously Miles to round off with a goal as well. Obviously there's a game next week, but just to touch on the season he's had as well as a young man, having the burden on his shoulders of carrying our, that striker position, given that we've struggled so much with injuries and form. As we've touched on, Macaulay didn't hit the heights when he came in. Jaden started the season poorly and was sold, and Chuck's obviously unfortunately has had a couple of injuries again this season. So that young, young man of what, 18, 19 years of age has had to carry the football club in terms of goal scoring with Jez as well, and I mean, what an outstanding asset he is to our football club, Miles Leeburn. There's three positives yesterday. You look at those three players that scored, they're three people that we can say, they have performed this season. They're people that I've enjoyed watching in a Charlton shirt this year. So look, it's always nice to finish on a win. The season, as we've already said, it's been a bit of a flat one, but it does leave a little bit of a jovial feeling when you come away from the Valley for the last time this season with 3 points. Sadly, it makes you optimistic for next season, doesn't it? But look, I'm just happy to get the 3 points yesterday, and hopefully we can move on from this year and plan for the summer. But obviously, there's a lot going on that could derail those plans. But yeah, we will see.
We should talk about predictions for Player of the Year. Mark, it's probably not quite... Last year was a foregone conclusion with George Dobson. I think everyone knew it was going to be him. This year, there's a couple of players that stood out. Obviously, as Lewis has mentioned, they're the likes of Miles and Jez, although he'll have hanging over him the Palace connection, which some fans might not want to vote for, and that'll be very harsh on him because of the season he's had. Which way do you see this one going?
Well, I think it's going to be a two-horse race. I think it's Jez and Miles. I'd put my hat on probably third place being Lucas Ness. Will people actually say, oh, because he's a Palace loanee, we can't vote for him? No, you can't. You've got to look at what he's done. Like Joe said, he's responsible for at least 20 of our points this season. And the thing about it is that other clubs watch us like we watch other clubs' players. We have a reputation for taking players on loan and improving them. We did it with Song. We did it with Mafididi. We did it with Conor Gallagher. We've done it with Jez. So we've got an ability for a League One club, which maybe some Championship clubs don't have, of going to bigger clubs and saying, look, who have you got, a young kid, who you think you can get something out of? Because look at what we can do to them here. They've got a grounding, they'll play, they'll learn. Jez is going back to Palace, a much better player than he was when he first ran out on that first game. When he started scoring a few wonder goals, everyone thought, wow, this kid's going to do it. Then he had a couple of quiet games. But we've seen consistency from him over season and improvement. He stood up for himself when he got knocked down. He handed out a slap, which was lovely. But we as a club have got to say, look, this is what we can offer players coming in. And I know you asked me about Player of the Year. So look, I think it's those two. I think it's Jez, Miles and Lucas in that order. But I think looking for next season, clubs we can approach and say, look, who have you got? Young kids, maybe, I say young kids, 18, 19-year-olds, who are going to get a sniff in a Premiership, but need to get that experience of man's football. Come out, play in an ugly league. This is an ugly league. We've got some ugly grounds. We might have a nice ground, a nice pitch. We know there's some right toilet bowls out there we've got to go to. Mention no names, Fleetwood. But you go to places and say, right, this is what we can do. And so that's the kind of player who we can, if we can get two young loanees in next season, and one of them does half as well as Jez does, that's a bonus, that's a benefit for us. So, yeah, we're sitting here at Player of the Year. We'd love to be crowning one of our own. And like I say, I think Miles will probably get Young Player of the Year. And Jez will take, deservedly, in my eyes, the Player of the Year. Because I think of what he's done for the club. And I think, regardless of who his parent club is, I mean, Connor came here from Chelsea. And we didn't go, oh, he's a Chelsea player, so we can't get behind him. We love Connor here until they took him away. And and he's a player he is for that 6 months he spent with us under both. Not for what he did at Swansea, but he went to Palace, he improved. And now they're queuing up to buy him in the summer. And now he's got to look back, and there are a few players who have come here on loan and it hasn't worked out. But they're not the kind of players who we're looking at for the future of this club. They'll go back to their parent clubs. I know there's one or two being linked with us already, but I think that's more agent talk than our talk. So there's a future bright. The future's bright for a loanee to come here and say, right, this is what I can show, what I can do. It's a place I can go and say, look at me. I can go back to my parent club. He can go back to Palace now because Brighty's come over and watched him a few times, seen what he's done and gone, what our choice now? Do we send him out to the Championship to see if he can step up a level? Or now we're in the Premiership for another season with Palace, do we put him in our squad and say, right, let's give him 10 minutes, 15 minutes, let's give him, pointless cup games here and see what he can do. That's their decision. He's not our player. We won't get him back next season. Why would they send him back to us? It makes no sense. He's not going to improve again from having another season with us. As much as we'd love to see him playing, but, we can say we did that. You'll see him score a worldie and gone, yeah, where he learned that? He learned that from playing ugly football and playing in an ugly team and shining bright, and that's the future for us, unfortunately, at the moment.
It is nurturing other players. Anyone, before we break off then to hear the award ceremony, does anyone else want to throw any other names into the ring? Joe, Sue, anyone else who haven't been mentioned yet?
I think we were talking about it on our table. I voted for Jez. I think George possibly, again, just for the consistency. But I think you've mentioned him a few times this season, Ashley.
Yeah.
Ashley Maynard Brewer, as a young keeper coming in, I feel like Jojo, in some respects, had a really... It was really sad because I felt like he was actually playing quite well, and then he broke his hand, and then that was kind of the end. Ash has come in. Now, we've queried his distribution, but as a keeper, some of them saves he made yesterday were worldies. Like, you've got to look at that and think, well, actually, again, one of our own. Is he in with a shout? I don't know.
Yeah, he may be in the running for... Because he's still quite young as well, isn't he, Ash? I don't know. Joe, anyone else before we break off?
Not anyone else, but one thing I will say, that it's a double-edged sword of an amazing, amazing sort of feature, but also a bit of a concern for us when we're looking at the squad as a whole, is your best defender for me, academy prospect, Ness, goalkeeper, youngster coming through. Our best attacking players have been our academy product, or Chelsea's, Palace, wherever you want to put his colours, academy prospect, and up front, Miles. So it does show there's some real quality in there in terms of the young players. We just need the players around them to support them. I think any of those players would deserve it. I think Jez, overall, I originally voted for Dobbo before he had his little trail off, because I thought start of the season he held the team together pretty much on his own at times, but Jez has just been a different maker by a long, long way, and if he doesn't win it, I think it would be a shame, and it wouldn't be a fair reflection of the season that we've had.
Certainly. Right, well, I think we're getting closer to the time that the awards will be dished out, so what we'll do now on Charlton Live, we will sort of step away from the mics for a little bit. We'll have our sandwiches and we'll wait for the awards, so when you next hear us, we'll either be reacting to whoever wins the Player of the Year, or we'll have an interview with a player, whatever happens quickly after. So thanks for listening to this first part. We will see you after the awards have been dished out.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Okay, next up is the winner of the Colin Cameron Supporter of the Year. Born in 1992, this person has been a Charlton fan since his childhood. His local team, and in the 01-02 season, he became a season ticket holder in the North West Family Stand. His first game being that exciting 4-4 draw against West Ham. And I think I played for West Ham in that game. I deserve it. He was hooked. He since then has attended all home women's and men's matches, as well as enjoyed the away experience at Southampton, Coventry and Leicester, amongst others. His favourite players are George Dobson and Ella Rutherford. He's very active on social media and sends me plenty of stuff as well, like he sent me one this morning of the two of us together. He loves Charlton Live, hosted by Louis Mendes, and was asked to share his thoughts by Louis before the game against Manchester United earlier in the year. He's a proud and active member of the Upbeats, training and playing football with the team as long as it doesn't clash with the Charlton game. He famously accepted the crossbar challenge at a Williams game in November 2021 when hitting the crossbar, a feat, as we all know, is rarely accomplished. He donated his winnings to the Upbeats. He tried again yesterday at the Valley, donating a further £500 to the Upbeats, with a thanks to Valley Gold as well, attempting the crossbar challenge at half-time. Who is it? Jonathan West. Jonathan, come up here, please.
the disabled supporters player of the season is Ashley Maynard Brewer. Okay, next up is the Fans Women's Team Player of the Year Award. Okay, in third place, Angela Addison. In second place, John Rogers. And the winner, there's got to be drum roll here, surely. She's been up before, Beth Rose! Okay, now we've got the men's, Fans Men's Team Player of the Year Award, and I'll do this in reverse order. Okay. So this young guy had a magnificent breakthrough season in men's football. I think we've had to rely on him too much, but he's responded like he's been in the game for 10 years. Big, strong, quick. 13 goals this season in total, 12 in the league, I think, and there's still a game to play. He's the young player of the year as well. He's been up here already. The sky's the limit, and I was his dad's roommate. Okay, this guy has done the job of two, sometimes three men at times over the course of the season. He was given the captaincy at the beginning of Dean Holden's tenure. He's also probably been up most nights as well after the birth of his first kid. He's probably knackered. Dobbo, come on, come up. Okay, what a serious talent this player is. He was our top scorer with 15 goals. It's only 20, is that right? Not just that, he's made assists as well, quite often been our shining light in what have been some tough times this season. He must have won the hearts and minds of the Charlton fans because he's a Palace player. But he is my player of the year and yours as well. James, come back up.
Live.
Well, we're now joined on Charlton Live by the Player of the Year, Jez Rakczaki. Jez, massive congratulations. How pleased are you to win the award?
Yeah, I'm very delighted to win the award. I didn't really expect it coming into this season to achieve what I've done this season. So I'm just very thankful to the fans and all the players for supporting me this season.
Yeah, I mean, we've spoken a number of times throughout the course of this season because you score every week, so you always get put up for interviews. But in terms of like a first senior loan out there, I don't think I've ever seen someone make as much of an impact as you have. It was this sort of beyond your wildest dreams with the numbers you've hit this season, the goals, the assists, the effect you've had on this team?
To be honest, it's been very difficult, as even though people think that it's been easy for me. But I think the support of my family and my friends and my agent and my team that have had my back and always believed in me just gave me that extra edge to push on, and yeah, I'm just very delighted.
You probably had a bit of a learning curve at one point in this season, and there was a spell, I imagine, you weren't quite getting goals around December. That was probably, and that's part of learning, that's part of why you've come out here. Did you pick up something in your own characteristics that helped you come through that spell and then come out the other side again?
Yeah, like you said, I think it was a period I didn't score for about a good 6 to 8 games, and you know, it's really affecting me because I want to help the team as much as I can, get goals, get assists. But I think the support of my family has really helped me, just encouraging me. The teammates and the gaffer just supporting me, giving me belief in my ability. So now, when I found my feet again, I just kicked on, and yeah, it was good.
I can't see a world where you're going to be here next season, unfortunately, because you've achieved so much at League One level. But have you had serious thoughts now about what you think? I mean, you know, Palace is still in the Premier League. Do you feel like you're ready to make that step up? Is the Championship where you could see yourself next season?
I think, like you said, it's been a good season this year, and that decision is not in my hands. I've just done everything that I can on the pitch, so that decision is, like I said, not in my hands, but whatever happens, I'm sure it will be for the best.
It was. I found it quite awkward when you're up there, and I guess as a player who's made the transition from Palace to Charlton this season, it must be quite strange for you to be a hero of both South London clubs now. But I think you've been an absolute credit to yourself and to your parent club as well. And I hope that Charlton will remain quite a special part in your heart as you're going into the future.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said up there, for it being my first loan and for it to go so well. It will always be remembered that this was where my career started. So, yeah, like I said, it will always be with me for the rest of my career.
Cheers. What's been, obviously you've performed incredibly well this season, what's been your standout highlight? If you had to pick one, what's been your favourite moment this season?
I'll probably say the Ipswich game, when we were 2-0 down twice, two goals behind twice. Just shows the character and what a special group of lads that we have, and the fans as well being with us all the way made it something that was impossible for people, made it possible. So I think that's my favourite moment this season.
Joe, you got one?
What for you, because that difficult spell that you mentioned was just as we were changing manager, how has Holden coming in sort of changed how you've been playing this season? Because certainly the second half, it seems like you've just gone on an upward trajectory that even I wasn't thinking that would be possible at the start of the season. Is that down to Holden or just experience?
Now 100%, when Holden came in, as you know, it was hard for me because the formation he was playing wasn't suitable to my game. So I knew that I had to do something differently. Maybe if it's running in behind more or getting stronger in the gym. So once I had my opportunity, and then I took it, and it's just been going higher and higher every day because he knows, he talks to me every day in training, and he wants me to score goals. He wants me to get assists. So I'm just very happy for the time he's taken to help me and all the rest of the coaches as well.
Jez, what would you say? I mean, you've got so many to choose from. What's been your favourite goal this season? Because you've just scored worldie after worldie. You're one of those players who, when we get the ball, we all move forward on the edge of our seats. Yeah. And it's an amazing thing to watch, to have a player with so much skill playing for our club, and you've scored some fantastic worldies, as they say. Which one's been your personal favourite?
I think I've changed my mind. They asked me over there and I said Exeter away, but most of the goals came back to me, and I'll probably say Shrewsbury at home. I think it was the third goal of the game. Got the ball, a couple of players around me, took it around two of them, went on the outside, and yeah, used my left foot to poke it in. So yeah, I think that one.
Because you have retired so many defenders this season, who are just they're going to see where you're going. We're saying we don't have to face him next season, and we're so happy about that.
Jez, it's been an honour to watch you play this season. It has been a real high point in obviously a difficult season for us. So as I say, all the best, whatever happens, and thank you for your time this season.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Charlton
Live. We're now joined by the Women's Team Player of the Year, Beth Rowe. Beth, congratulations. How does it feel?
Yeah, it's nice to have the recognition. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not someone who ever sort of blows my own trumpet, so to have that recognition from fans and players, yeah. It's really nice.
Yeah, and as yourself and Karen were saying up on the stage there, it's been a good year for the women's team. I feel like progression from last year, crowd's slightly up as well. I mean, how have you seen it this year?
Most definitely. I mean, compared to last year, obviously we finished fourth. I think if we're like self-critical, which we are as a team, I think we could have finished higher. And I think internally we're quite disappointed with some of the performances we have put out. But overall, you can't ask for something better to have a whole, basically a new group this year, to get them all to try and bond and then to finish a place higher. I mean, it's full credit to the staff and what they've done and to the players who have come in. So yeah, we're delighted.
Yeah, only 10 points off Bristol City, which isn't a massive gap when you think about it. Obviously, we saw the gulf between the two sides perhaps last week. But yeah, what does this side need to do to take that next step to be challenging for the WSL?
Do you know what? I think when you look at the results, most of them this season, the ones we've lost or we've drawn, they've been in our control. And I think it's just making sure in those sort of moments we're switched on as a team. But I think the game against Bristol didn't really reflect us as an outfit. I think we were extremely disappointed with that. And as I said, being self-critical as a team, yeah, we weren't happy at all. I think it's just making sure in next season, whatever happens or wherever people may be, it's going with the same intensity and going, do you know what? This is the intentions and this is where we're going to set our bar and hold ourselves accountable if we fall short of that.
Yeah, because obviously the majority of defeats this season have only been by the odd goal. They've been tight games. We've seen late equaliser as well, so we could have higher points. A high point, of course, for yourself, I'm guessing, scoring a winning goal here at the Valley a few weeks ago. Is that up there? Was your favourite moment of the season?
One of the favourite moments. I'm not really renowned for my scoring, so I think that's, something that I was extremely happy with. But I think for me, trying to get as many assists as possible to set my teammates up. But I'm someone who, I love a big block. If there's a good challenge in near my own goal, I'll pride myself on that.
How much of a difference has Mel made to this team? An out-and-out goal scorer. I think they're saying top scorer in the championship, although apparently there's a debate about it now. Yeah. But, how much of a difference has she made? Because I feel like we haven't had that out-and-out goal scorer for a few seasons, perhaps since Kit left.
Yeah, she's been a big focal point for us. Someone who, especially from the back, we look for. And she's very versatile. Like, not only like she'll hold the ball up, but she's very quick and she'll run in behind. So I think she causes a lot of problems for defenders because they don't know which way she's going to go, which for us is a strength when we go forward.
Well, how big of an influence has Karen been over the last couple of years? Of course, obviously the club turning professional as well has got to play a big part in that. But what sort of manager is she? I know she's been there and done that before with Spurs, hasn't she?
She's been there, done that. If you spoke to her, she probably takes on experience from that, but does it differently this year. I mean, we're a whole different group of players, and I guess football's come on a bit now. But I think since she's come in, you've seen how professional the club has changed and how much she's taken from her time at Spurs and tried to implement it into this club and push it forward. And as a person, I think she's very open to listening to us and sort of what we want as players, and she takes all of that on board. But also not just her, there's a whole group of them from staff. I mean, you've got Laura, Ritesh, and all the backroom staff as well, so they work in a group.
Yeah, and just finally, obviously, so we had the game at the Valley here at 3 or 4 now this season. When you look at some of the crowds like Bristol last week, there are clubs that get bigger crowds than us. What can we do as a club to get more down there to support it? Because, as Karen said, the product on the pitch has actually been very good. Like, the amount of goals we scored this season compared to last, I think we were like half over to our target after about three games this year. So what more can Charlton fans do to come down and see?
I think it needs to be pushed a lot more in the local community. I think getting into schools and showing them that, you know what, like, the women's are just as good as the men. I think when you speak to a lot of people, they haven't ever seen a women's game before. And they come down and they're like, oh, this is incredible. I mean, I was speaking to a fan today and she was like, yeah, I brought my niece down for the first time the other day and she loved it. She was like, there was no rolling around. And I was like, yeah, but we pride ourselves on that. So I think it's just pushing it as much as possible. But also, once we establish as a club our footing, I think the fan base will grow. I think it's difficult when you've probably come from nothing, you're just trying to build, because I think fans are unsure. But as time goes and as the game grows, I think more fans will start to filter in.
Fingers crossed that'll be the case. Beth, congratulations again. Thanks for coming to speak to us on Charlton Live.
Perfect, thank you.
Charlton Live.
Right, we're now joined on Charlton Live by Dan Carnew and Zach Mitchell. Dan, I'll start with you since you sat near him. How have you found this season? Been a bit of a breakthrough year for you. How have you found it?
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed this season. It's been, like you said, it's been a real, real good breakthrough season for me. I've made 10 appearances in the league and 14 overall. Include Papa John, so it's been a really, really good experience for me, and I've just enjoyed every minute of it, really. You told me 2 years ago when I started out my scholarship that I'd be here at this point with like these kind of stats and things like that, I'd have told you you're joking. And like, it's just been it's been a lot of development, and I'm still developing right now, but I've just enjoyed every minute of it, and it's just onwards and upwards from here, and I'll just try my best to reach my potential. I'm obviously working alongside all the coaches every day. I'm sure I can do that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I think you're close to a million goals now in the academy football. how have you found the step up into league football? What's the main differences that you've noticed since you've come up into sort of men's football?
I think the difference is just that you just don't get as many chances, and it's when you make the most of your chances, you then begin to get more chance because teammates trust you more, teams become more wary of you. Look at someone like Jezra Exactly. Every time he gets the ball, it looks like he's going to do something, he's going to create a goal, and automatically he instills a fear. And that's the kind of player I want to be. I want to instill fear in like the opposition, cause trouble, because ultimately that's what attacking players do, and that's exactly what I want to do.
Dean gave you a real boost. I think it was his first game, or one of his first games, that he threw you in alongside Miles up top, and obviously you got that great assist as well. How much of a sort of mentor and a boost has he been since he's coming for you?
Oh, massive, massive boost, because I hadn't played in the league at all, so throughout the whole season hadn't touched the league. So going from, I've literally just played the youth cup with the under-18s, where we lost 3-2 to Newcastle. And then towards Christmas time, I was supposed to get a little break, and I get a message saying that I'm going to be training the first team for like Christmas break. I was like, okay, mum, yes, that's all right.
It's pretty fit, you wanted to turn turkey into Christmas pudding.
So I was like, that's fine. And then training goes well, meeting, obviously get to know the gaffer a lot better as well. And then the day before the Peterborough game at home, or 2 days before, should I say, on Christmas Eve, he tells me, you know what, I'm looking to start you in my first game in charge. I was like, wow, like, just didn't expect this, because I've gone from not touching the league to now starting it. And it was a surreal experience, and it was capped off by obviously that assist for Miles, which I felt, yeah, it just gave me a lot of confidence, and yeah, it just told me that if I keep my head down, just continue working, the opportunities will come, and I can make the most of them.
Excellent. I'm really looking forward to the next few years to see how you go. Zach, congratulations! You had an award already, the Apprentice of the Year from the AFL. I mean, that's some award that is. There's some big names you've won that in the past. What did that mean to you?
Yeah, definitely delighted. It was a lovely evening the other night, and then obviously topped off by actually getting the award. Yeah, I think I've said this before the other day. I think with the past winners, you know, you can only look up to them and try to aspire to achieve what they've done. And, you know, it's a reflection of the opportunities I think that I've been given this season. So, yeah, really appreciative for all of those and how supportive the whole, you know, staff, players, and just the club in general, with fans and everyone. They've been amazing in welcoming this season and making it, you know, really special.
Jez was getting a lot of stick about Palace. I think you know where this is going, but in your family, obviously you've got someone who's played Football League experience, has actually gone through a bit of a tough time recently with injury as well, but your brother Billy, obviously at Millwall, how much of an influence has he been sort of on your career so far?
Yeah, definitely. I think he's been absolutely vital in my development. You know, I think, you know, we can forget he's at Mill, but aside from that, yeah, he's been amazing. I've said, you know, you can always go to him for advice and support. And yeah, just someone to look up to in many different ways, and I definitely owe a lot to him. Yeah, both just being that mentor in terms of football, but also just that friend off the pitch as well.
Yeah, and obviously you've had a fair bit of first team experience, including obviously yesterday you come off the bench as well. And again, the same question really: what's the step up from sort of boys football into men's football like? I mean, obviously there's experience moments, I guess, for everyone in a season. Obviously you had a moment at Plymouth that you learned from, but this is the part of your career where you learn from that, I guess. And
yeah, I think like you said, with that Plymouth moment, you realise that it's men's football and everything counts. You know, winning is obviously the main priority, and sometimes you just got to take less risks. It's not necessarily where you have 18s and 21s football, where it's about more developing yourself as a player. It's more about getting those 3 points at the end of the day, and yeah, a big part of that, I think, coming up to that first team environment is probably the physicality. You know, trying to use your physicality to the best of its advantage, and I'm really just trying to impose yourself, especially in that centre-back position. I think, you know, you're going to be coming up against a lot of big strikers and attackers, so you've got to learn to deal with that and you know, work around that.
Zach, obviously this season's been a real breakthrough for you. Going into the summer now, preparations for next season, what are your targets for next year? Are you looking to be a little bit more of a mainstay in that sort of senior setup now that you're getting a bit more established?
Yeah, I think that's got to be the aim. I think trying to establish yourself as a first team player, and I think I've had a great sort of breakthrough season, and I'm really appreciative of that. But you know, you've got to strive towards more, and definitely try to look towards being that regular name on the team sheet. So yeah, I think that starts even in the off season. So try and
work as hard as possible, get ready for pre-season and take it from there.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, chaps, congratulations on your breakthrough seasons, and as I said, for both of you, I'm really looking forward to next year.
Thank you, guys.
Charlton Live.
We're now joined for our final interview of the evening by the Addicts boss, Dean Holden, here at the Player of the Year dinner. And Dean, well, first of all, obviously, Jez, I'm glad that we put the Palace thing aside, because it would have been very petty of us if we hadn't, because he's been outstanding this season, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's a worthy winner, isn't he? I mean, he's an incredible young player. I think fair play to him for coming out of that comfort zone of the under-21 system. I think Crystal Palace have benefited from Jez coming to us. I think we've benefited as a football club too, as much as Jez has benefited himself as well. You know, as an individual player, he's had exposure to men's football for the first time. He's been some player. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's still got lots to learn, but you watch him, he gets the ball in that, particularly in that right corner of the box, and you think, go on, something's going to happen here, and we saw it again yesterday. And I think it's important, I got him on stage there, he's a little bit shy and all the rest of it, but it was important that, you know, whoever the supporters can't be that get to Cheltenham, it was important that we all got there tonight to celebrate what a fantastic player he's been, because he's been a big part of us staying up the season. Let's not forget about that. When I come in at Christmas, there was a bit of a challenge about going down. The remit was to stay up, and you know, to get to 10th position is fantastic in terms of where we were. It's not where we want to get to. He's been a big part of that. There's been moments this season where you stand there and you think the game could go either way, and he gets on the ball and you think, my word, what a player.
Yeah.
I think he's got the top, Louis. I think he really got the top. He's got a great temperament. I was at the EFL Awards with his family last weekend. I think he's really got a great chance of going to the top level, I've got to be honest with you.
Yeah, and it is painful that obviously he came from Palace, because we know he's going back to make them better again. But for us, I said this a few weeks ago, I mean, we've had a bit of a reputation as a club of bringing in Premier League loan players. Conor Gallagher was here a couple of seasons ago. You mentioned Alex Songles 10, 15 years ago. We've brought in big name players and helped them improve. Is that something that will hold us in good stead going into next year?
Well, you'd rather have your own, and don't get me wrong, there's plenty of them. I mean, we could be here all night talking about the youngsters that have come through our academy. I have to say, there's not many clubs in the 72 in the EFL that could name the players that we've got coming through our academy. I've got to be fair, I think we might take it for granted a little bit. I really do. I think people... I was getting asked questions a couple of weeks ago about, okay, so the season's kind of done in terms of you're not going down, you're not going up. Are you now going to start to blood youngsters? I'm like, are you winding me up? Like, the youngsters have been there all season. Like, you think about Lucas Ness before he got injured, and obviously Ash has played every game, every minute, and there's many more. Miles, you know, Daniel Kahn, who started my first two games because I felt it was the only player that could run in behind. So ideally, you want to obviously promote your own players, of course you do, but we have to acknowledge we're a League One team. We are a huge club in League One. And I think Kerb said this a few weeks ago. I think, look, we're sat here now with the stadium behind us. This is one incredible arena. Louis, you'll know better than me. You've been a supporter all your life. This is one incredible football club. I've been here as an away supporter. But at the moment, we're in League One. And we need to acknowledge that. And the quicker we do that, the better. And I think, great that we're one of the bigger teams. How do we get to the Championship? And you have to accept that some of the better players you mentioned there, you'd never get Conor Gallagher on a permanent signing because he's such a great player as he's gone on to prove. So you have to tap into that market. You have to use that with the youngsters coming through and then get some good seniors. And we have got some good seniors here already, but we need to recruit even more. We need to put a squad together. I know exactly what this squad needs to get promoted next year in terms of how many goals you need to score, how many clean sheets you need, how many wins you need. Average age in the last 10 years that's been brought. I know all that information, and now it's just about acting on it.
The squad that you've had this year, I think there's probably going to be a lot of churn. Is that fair to say in the summer? Without you, I'm not asking names or anything at this point, but do you feel like there will be a fair bit of turnover because of where we are in League One?
I think you're fair. Listen, you've been pushing me for weeks on that, and I've been reluctant to obviously to talk about it, because I think we've had the one thing we have had with this group of players, and people can argue about the quality, and maybe sometimes when we concede we go under a little bit, set pieces we've been poor. There's lots of factors why we've not got where we need to get to, but I've tried not to talk about that because I've seen it before. I think managers have come out and and started nailing certain groups of players, and all of a sudden you see a real drop in performance. And my aim was to get to the end of this season, you know, trying to finish as strong as we can. Obviously, we had a, you know, this was a dead rubber yesterday. Port Vale probably needed a point, but you know the boys have gone out and produced and got a good home win, which was really important. People think that's not a big deal to finish at home. Season with a win, with the optimism of the next, it was really important to me. And I think obviously once we get Sunday's game out of the way, well, I can see I'm sitting on the fence here, Anna, but once we get Sunday's game out of the way, we'll start. You'll see it publicly, obviously, with the release and retain list. I'm yet to have them conversations with the players. I'm gonna speak to them on Friday morning about that, but I know exactly where we're at now. I know exactly where we're at. I just didn't want to go too early and you know, possibly suffer for the last four or five games. I wanted to finish as strong as we can. I think players, certain players were still kind of up for debate. And why not keep them hungry?
I'll give you another chance to sit on the fence, and I know you're bored of this conversation. I'm desperately bored of this conversation, but there's been further breaking news in the takeover front since we've been sat in this room with, Charlie's lot seem to be back on the scene. They were obviously the lot that brought you in. Can you give us anything that you know about what's happened over the last few days?
I mean, in terms of tonight, obviously I've been at the event. I went to the toilet earlier and someone actually showed me a report he'd seen on Sky Sports News, that breaking news. I've not seen that at all. I've been obviously immersed in the event. I've not been off stage, if you can see it. Scott Minto's had me up and down for pretty much every ward. So I'll take stock of that tomorrow, I think. I was aware of that. I was aware of obviously that group coming back in. I think they've made an improved offer for the football club, and obviously I know them guys. Everybody knows that. So I think we'll see. I think Thomas is in control. Thomas, somebody I'm speaking to all the time. Yet to speak to Thomas today, but I'm sure I'll catch up with him tomorrow, and we'll see exactly what's going on. Essentially, Thomas wants what's best for the football club, and obviously wants to get a deal sorted, so let's see what happens. I don't want to sit on the fence and say I don't know what's going on, because I've heard certain things, but I don't know everything there is. So ultimately this football club needs to have some clarity in terms of budget for next season, in terms of exactly where we're going. We all know what we want to do. We all know that my remit with this season was to stay up, and then next season to push on for the top six, and let's hope that's still the case.
Just one last one before I let the other chaps jump in with a couple. The situation, I don't know, the connection between the manager and the fans, obviously I think it's probably one of the best I've seen for a long time. You know, I'll say little things, but coming to the Upbeats walk yesterday was probably the first time we've seen a manager do that, actually. Between the players and the fans, I'm not just talking about Charlton Live, I'm talking about all the fan base. Obviously they've seen performances at times this season that they've really been able to get behind, but they've seen performances that they haven't. How important is it that next season that there's a clean slate and actually that a real connection can be built again between us and them for fans and the players?
Yeah, I think when you go to any stadium you can sense it straight away, can't you, as a fan? You can tell whether the fans and the players are connected or not, and I think the slight issue we've got is that this has been 10 years and plus in the making. This is not, you know, something we draw home to Accrington a couple of weeks ago, we get booed off. It was a great performance. I don't think it was the worst performance either, but I think that's just 10 years in the making of come on, what's going on with this football club? We're Charlton Athletic, Accrington Stanley were probably much lower than us 10 years ago. What's going on? And I think I'm using that as an example, but I think for next season it's hard to get a clean slate because of all the historical feelings that fans have got, yourself and the guys around the table. It's hard for me to sit here now and say let's start with a clean slate next year, because I don't think that's possible. I think what's going to happen is the longer this goes on, that's going to become more and more intense, and we need to get it takes a lot of you need big balls to play at this stadium, because it's not one of the smaller clubs in the division. This is a big club, the biggest club in League One without a doubt, and it takes some balls to play at this stadium when you're playing against them types of teams. And you know, for us there will be pressure next season. I buzz off that. I thrive on that expectation. I see it as a positive. I think I'd rather be here with all the expectation of the support base thinking okay, we need to be at the top end of the table, rather than one of the so-called smaller teams who's fighting to stay in League One, and we need to recruit characters and players that can handle that pressure.
Dean, one of the biggest positives this season has to be our academy. We've seen Zach Mitchell recognised for his Apprentice of the Year. breakthroughs for the likes of Lucas Ness, Miles Leeburn, just to name a few. How important is our academy as the DNA of this football club, and how impressive you've been with the quality of players that have come through this season from that setup?
Yeah, I've never seen an academy like it, I've got to be honest. I've obviously been at a lot of football clubs over the last, you know, I've been in football since I was 16 years old, 20 odd years, and you know, it's incredible what Steve Avery and his staff and have done, and that's recognised. And as long as I'm the manager of this football club, I will always give them guys a chance, because I remember as a young player myself, you know, you just want an opportunity. If you're good enough, you'll get in. And players get in different ways. Sometimes I got in, there was four or five injuries to that position before I even got a chance, which maybe was a reason why I didn't go on. But Big Sam Allardyce gave me my opportunity at that point, and I was very grateful for it. And I think players get in different ways, through injuries, through suspension, through luck, and then every now and again you'll get a Miles Leeburn, a Daniel Carney, who just comes from a young age. And the important thing is people come at different times. Some might need a loan, some might need to, you know, progress further and then come back a bit later. So I will always give them opportunities, because that's, supporters love nothing more than one of their own coming through, don't they? You disagree if you want, but no, supporters love nothing more than one of their own coming through. The important thing is at this time is that we need to get some good seniors around them to get to the top end of the league. You know, it's been great what's happened with the academy, incredible, but this club needs to get up to the Championship as quick as it can, and they can flourish even further.
We, as a fan base, you've used the word clarity in terms of us knowing what we're looking at next season. How difficult a job does that make it for you in terms of talking to players, and even you mentioned looking at someone for the backroom staff without maybe knowing 100% on budgets and different things like that, and trying to marry that all together and yet still not end up a couple of weeks behind or even a month behind other teams out there in a similar position to us?
Yeah, good question. I think I'm really clear in terms of what we need, in terms of what positions and what players we need. I've got a list of players, and from obviously the top target down to number two and down number three, and you never quite know, you know, your top target might end up going to a higher division or higher whatever, so you know, you need to have a list. I'm really clear on that. You're right, because you know, until this gets resolved, we don't quite know, do we? So as soon as we start making offers for players, you know, we'll have to see what happens. I think you're right. I think the guys, I think Louis touched on it before, the guys that are looking to come in are really committed to coming in. I think the money's there. I think there's a real plan, and we can start to move forward pretty quickly. But obviously I don't know the ins and outs, and to be honest, don't really want to start talking about all that stuff, because that's not what I'm an expert in. I'm not an expert in anything, to be honest, but you know, what I will talk about is coaching and players. But I'll try not to duck your question. I think clarity is the key thing. You know, the quicker we can absolutely finalise exactly where we're at, what supermarket we're shopping in, we'll be able to move. We're ready to go.
Dean, you've spoken about how important it is to have someone like Kerbs available at the end of a phone to you. Having a senior manager like that, and you're a young manager in, you know, you've been in football for a long time, but you're a fairly young manager for a club like this. How often have you sort of like taken his advice on, or is it just a purely he phones up and, or you speak to him or you clash and say, you know, this is the way, and he steers you as opposed to, look, I would do it this way? How do you find working with having a mentor, for example, like that, who's available for you?
Yeah, I mean, I've got different guys that I would tap into at different times. I mean, Kerr's, luckily for me, has become the next one on the list, so to speak. I think I've not spoke to him like loads, but I've spoke to him at key moments a couple of times. I've instigated the conversation, and another time he's given me a call, and he's basically an experienced guy who's been in and around it. And why would you not tap into that? Like, I don't know all the answers. The first thing I said when I came into the club is I don't know everything about Charlton Athletic, and I don't know all the answers, you know, but you certainly try and find them. So Kerbs has been fantastic. He's one of a number of guys, along, I've said it before, with Brownie, who's obviously not been in terms of management, but certainly at that level, but certainly coaching and playing. Keith Peacock was here tonight, Scott Minto, you know, these Walsh, they're quite lucky in that respect. I sat down probably 6, 7, 8 weeks ago now, where Jason from the Community Trust came into my office for a brew, and Stewie Barmer is an old Charlton, obviously Charlton centre back, played with him at Oldham, fantastic guy. He came in and the way that him and Jason kind of shook each other's hand, I could see there was like, I'm like, what's this about? It's 20 odd years in the making. I'd not seen it at any other club. You know, the guy from the community, and I just thought there's something special going on here, and you could, and that's what we're trying to recreate. We're trying to bring everybody together. I came in, listen, the place was in silos. It was, the academy was stuck over there, the women's team was there, the first team was over there, and the supporters were sort of stuck to this. And all we're trying to do, it's not rocket science, we're trying to be as honest as we can, and it's difficult for me with the ownership because I'd love to say more. I can't, obviously. Just trying to bring everybody together. You know, supporters want well for this football club. As much as they might boo when we get beat at Ipswich and we get a few V signs and all that, which you totally get. By the way, I'd be doing the same if I was in away, and I've been in that away and a few times as a supporter. You have to take it on a bad day, but at the same time, they want the best for this club. No supporter wakes up in the morning and wants bad for Charlton Athletic. They want the total best. You know, and the players are the same, and the staff are the same, and sometimes it doesn't quite go so well, does it? And we've not had enough of them moments this season. There's been too much inconsistency, but overall, if you can pull it all together, look at this stadium and look at the support base, look what we took to Old Trafford, like, something so magical. This is not some non-league team which has got, you know, got up to League One in the last 10 years. This is a historical team, and it's gone through some pain. And my aim, obviously, is as quickly as we can, is to bring it all together. Ultimately, success on the pitch is what everybody looks for, and I totally get it. But there's so much good going on behind it. I just hope this summer we can bring it all together, and this time next year we'll be sat here with a big trophy in this middle of this table instead of one of these energy drinks that Louis brought in, and we'll be going long into the night.
Let's just say we love the Carabao Cup so much after getting to Old Trafford, so that's why we had to bring it.
I didn't think you could mention the name, that's why I didn't.
They owe me money now. Right, Dean, thanks so much for joining us on Charlton Live, and for all your time on BBC London as well this season. Still got one more to go, so look forward to next weekend, and then a very big summer for the club.
Thanks, Tom. See you, Charlton, fellas.
Charlton Live. Right, well, we've pretty much come to the end of the evening here. The fans bar is starting to empty out. It's been another enjoyable night, and we couldn't go away without saying a massive thank you to Gene, who's organised another excellent event. Gene, really pleased that you've allowed us into your event once more. Have you enjoyed your evening?
Yeah, actually I have. It's very stressful leading up to it. You wonder if people are going to drop out. Last year, unfortunately, we had a few players drop out at the last minute, which was very disappointing for some of the people obviously involved on those tables. But everyone turned up this year, which is a credit to Tracy and to Dean. And I think it was a very enjoyable evening. I'm just happy when people are happy. That's all we're really here for.
Yeah, it's not something I believe, obviously, because I'm here. But some people say after a bad season, why do we have these evenings? But, I mean, nights like tonight, even if you don't speak to any of the players, the fans coming together is what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, totally agree. And I think when you've got characters like our manager, you can't, how can I put it, put a price on how much he brings to the club. And how much he brings supporters and players together. He's just a genuine guy, which is someone we've wanted for a long time. Obviously, Jacko was a genuine guy too, but unfortunately he didn't fit the profile that we needed at the time, and hopefully Dean has. He's totally gets this club. We bought him a card that says, "Thank you for getting our club, and hope we got a successful and lengthy partnership together." And I hope that tells him the way we feel about him.
Yeah, potentially tough, well, certainly uncertain times ahead. How are you feeling as a fan who's seen a lot over the years as well?
Oh, it's hard to know what to say. I read on Charlton Life that it's happening tomorrow, then it's not, and then someone's walked away, and then they might not be. Who knows what's going on? I really have no idea whatsoever. Just hope whatever happens is positive for the supporters, the players, and our famous football club in general.
Mm. And, well, whatever happens, we still have this Charlton community that we've had in this room this evening. So, Gene, massive thanks. I'm going to wrap up the podcast now. So I'll say, first of all, thanks to you and all the guys who've helped organise this evening, and already look forward to next year when as Dean said, hopefully we'll have a trophy on the table alongside us.
You're very welcome. Let's hope Player of the Year next year is a promotion Player of the Year.
Fantastic. Well, that's fingers crossed, probably hope rather than expectation. Lewis Catt, who's been alongside us throughout the evening, massive thank you for your hard work this season. Still got another couple of shows yet, so don't get too relaxed.
Not my feet up yet, no.
Cheers for tonight, mate.
No, mate, thanks for having me again, as always. Oh, yeah, I think it's my 8th season with Charlton Live now, going into my 9th season next year. So, yeah, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Absolute pleasure. Mark Newbury, as always, good to see you.
No, good to be here.
And look forward to the buffet next time.
I'll bring the food next time.
Yeah, and Joe Puddyfoot had to shoot off, but massive thanks to him and Sue, of course.
I've just crept over because I absolutely adore my jeans.
Well, thanks for all your work this season and coming back into the show the last couple of years. It's been a pleasure to have you back on as well. So, last word from me then. Thank you to everyone who's listened to this year's Player of the Year dinner special. And yes, we will be back on Thursday, so I won't give it the big soppy goodbye just yet. But thanks for listening. I'm Louis Mendes. I hope you've enjoyed the show and we'll see you again on Thursday.
Just want to do a few welcomes. Can we say hello to the Charlton Live team? Louis Mendes, are you on air at the moment? There you are. I said this last year, I meant it then and I mean it now. I try and listen as much every single week. It's great fun. The balance between feeling the passion stroke hurt of a Charlton fan with a bit of humour chucked in as well is absolutely brilliant. So great to see you guys.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.